I'll say, and that's the show.
Emotions. Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Field Hop on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Hop134 on Threads, which I honestly haven't logged into in weeks. Gentlemen, at Beer Field 30, at Ryan Minor underscore FFP, joining me this lovely evening. How are you two?
Well, with all my DJ Moore points, I'm pretty good. And Justin Fields points.
All my DJ Moore points are on the bench.
Oh, I know. I feel free. Sucks. This is what happens when you play in so many leagues. You just have shares of people everywhere. Then they just almost always play.
One's going to go off, or there's something you can't play. And this is just a reminder that sometimes, even if your process is right, like, man, I hate how the Bears' offensive line stacks up against Washington's front four. The results might be different.
Yeah, it's aging well. Said no one ever.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm excited because I got DJ Moore going in the league, then I hate it because I'm also going against DJ Moore in the league. So, I mean, if he gets 504 receiving yards, I'd be pretty happy. But
504 receiving yards.
16 receptions, 16 targets. He's catching everything.
Just did another tush push.
Tush push.
17-3 Bears, by the way, your Thursday night football check-in. They're off to a hot start, hence the DJ Moore talk. He is 130-some-odd yards and 2 touchdowns in the second quarter. So... that's going well for me on my bench.
Going well for me and a lot of, I think I played him everywhere. I'm going to take this because Bears have a lot to root for the first 3 weeks of the year. And game four and game five look pretty good.
Indeed. All right. Today's show, we are going to go through the news like always. And for the recap, we're going to kind of do a quarter season recap. We've teased this a little bit, so we're going to go through, look at leaders, look at best and worst defenses against positional groups, kind of set where we're at a quarter of the way through the season, maybe a little talk on if we think it'll keep up or not. We got some trades, at least one trade to talk about, which was a very, very interesting one. Dan and I have already kind of pre-discussed because we're in that league. Ryan has not.
I think two. I think I want to talk about the one that went down last night. More so, not the conversation of the player, the two players involved, but more so in how to assess, how to appropriate value.
That was the one I was talking about.
I'm talking about the one that happened last Friday. I'm talking about the one, the big dynasty.
What happened last Friday?
The one with the package of young picks, young players and picks.
Oh. I'll be interested to relearn what that was because I've forgotten already.
All right.
I forgot.
All right. Then tease.
I guess we can talk about three because I guess we can talk about the redraft trade I made earlier this week too, which, you know, you all and myself included just kind of said, it's fine.
It's fine.
We'll talk about the reasons behind that. So I'll do some trade analysis because that's always fun to talk about. And then we'll do a quick preview of this week. We got some bye weeks, so we'll throw some potential streamers your way, games to target, things to not target. I thought he caught that. But yeah, before we do that, we're drinking.
What's fueling Beer Field?
Does anything feel better than a fresh new pair of Hey Dudes?
Dude, so I drunkenly ordered some 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh my fuck, dude. I remembered but kind of forgot. I get home, I see them show up, and I'm like, oh my god, those are my new dudes.
Yeah,
it's a new sneaker dudes and some new walk around loafer style. Oh my god,
what loafer style did you get?
I got some nice neon blue, or not neon, navy blue ones, and then I got some of the sneakers just to help with
canvas socks.
Dude, I think it's socks. I don't remember the names.
I got socks too. But man, I tried on a pair of Halos. They're the ones made out of recycled water bottles. Those damn things are comfy. And they're light. That's gonna be a summer.
All dudes are comfy.
Yeah, those are exceptionally comfy. Dude,
How are you not rocking Hey Dudes, Ryan? You are literally the target fucking, like.
You're the target audience.
It's all of us. And I don't even, like, it's young.
Don't put me in your guys' category.
Business casual.
Freaking... Oh, yeah. Like, that's where I'm off at, is business casual.
It's literally pre New Balance. Like, it's the slick. Don't have to tie your shoes. You know how much I hate
tying shoes?
I don't tie shoes. They don't even have fucking laces.
Mine have laces, but I've never tied them.
Oh, man. We got to get you some dudes.
Yeah. They're
fucking.
They're the greatest.
Change your life.
Ever. Yeah.
Change your life.
They do. I held out for a little bit. They change your life.
And no, people, we're not sponsored by Hey Dude.
No.
We're not big enough to be sponsored by Hey
Dude. That would be cool, but not a
chance. That would be, yeah, yeah. Also, we're on time to sponsor a podcast with their
episode 453, by the way. We got 47 weeks left.
Their retirement tour.
I was going to hold my foot up for the camera, but the camera is still not, the video capture is still not working because I'm lazy.
No.
I forgot it was broke after last episode and didn't do anything about it. So weird, it's still broke.
Hey, we're still talking about Hey Dudes. Can I put inserts in those shoes, or does it have its own sole that's stuck?
It's got its own, but I'm sure you can just take them out.
You can put inserts in it. The one that's in it's like really, really thin, but you can put your own in there.
Yeah,
when they're brand new, they're super nice. I mean, obviously, the older they get, the more worn down, but mine are fucking great.
I'm really into my Vans. I can't help it.
I mean, you look like you would also
rock some Vans.
Rock some Vans. You're wearing like...
backwards
what
hats.
Are the other ones? Vans,
backwards Jordan hats, and
yeah,
rosy red cheeks.
Rock, fucking rosy,
rocking the soul bed.
Take it back Sunday T-shirt.
That's right. Oh.
Hey, I saw them not that long ago.
I haven't seen them in forever.
Saw them like a month ago.
I've never seen them. I've not seen them.
It's a good time. Good time.
Here they are.
They still kick ass. I hadn't heard a lot of their newer stuff though. Their newer stuff is actually really good. Anyway, what are you drinking?
I'll start. I am drinking from Revolution out of Chicago. A caramel crisp. This is a caramel popcorn ale. This is in collaboration with Garrett's Popcorn Shop.
I'm so interested in that because if it tasted all like popcorn butter and diastole, I would
absolutely hate it. No, that's dumb. But there's absolutely no. So they describe it as a creme brulee style sweetness that's also a creme brulee like sweetness with a salty finish.
I didn't think Revolution would try to get the actual corn note in their beer because it's Revolution, but
just use coconut.
It just scares me.
It's, I'll give you my thoughts on it later. We'll talk about it later.
Cool.
I like where this is going.
Ryan, what do you got?
I have a beer that's hard to find. Very delicious.
Drink
rare. I don't even know how I got it, but
it's probably a Bud Light.
It's Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Fine. It's a Bud Light of craft beer. Okay.
A Bud Light Oktoberfest.
Oh, God. Again?
We mean
no,
again.
No, no.
He had the Boston Lager remake.
I'm sorry. I also hate the Sam Adams.
The Bears are just going to turn over the Commanders.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That ended up getting weird with me when I told them. I'm like, yeah, I really like, I love a lot of Oktoberfest besides Sam Adams. They're like, you hate a lot of things. I'm like, nope, just Sam Adams.
That's why I put it on here. I was like, oh, Dan and Chris are going to love this one.
I think Chris likes it. I'm the one that remiss to them.
I had one last weekend after drinking someone's Oktoberfest. I don't remember whatever one of them Tuckology has on right now. And it was, it didn't measure up. The craft one from whatever I had at Tuckology. I wish I remember who that was now.
Was it Triptych? Because all I fucking have is Triptych.
No, it wasn't Triptych. They had... The Triptych they had was Lorini and two IPAs.
Yeah, they
wasn't Triptych.
Not gonna voice snort anyways.
But
I had a pretty bad one on Tuesday night.
Did you?
It was some brewery out of St. Louis that the guys I play poker with love. He was like, "This is my favorite one. I can't get out here," and I had it, and it was.
Can you tell me whose?
I don't remember who it was. It was. Not good though. He loved it. He was like, "This is great." And I tried it, and it's very sweet.
Yeah.
And it you had it in a growler can. So I'm like, I don't know how long you have it. You know, some beers don't hold up. You know, some breweries don't package them well enough. They barely hold up for more than a day. It didn't come off flat. It's just, I thought it was too sweet.
Yeah. Totally understand.
Yeah.
All right. I am drinking Schlafly's No Bounds Brown. So I'm going away from Oktoberfest this week. It's also brown ale season, which is one of my favorite beer styles. So they're drinking their No Bounds Brown Ale, Schlafly out of St. Louis, Missouri. All right. News.
News.
All right, leading off with the biggest news of the week, Kyle Phillips returned to practice for the Titans after many weeks on IR. So, pay attention to that or don't.
I feel like you just put that in for me.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Change in status of a player that should be a starter. It's relevant. Amon-Ra St. Brown has missed two straight practices and is no guarantee to play in week 5. Jameson Williams is back after having a suspension reduced thanks to a new agreement between the NFLPA and the NFL. So Amon-Ra has been playing a bit banged up. He's not practicing. Keep an eye on that. With Jameson back, obviously if Amon-Ra doesn't go, Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds will be both flex value.
Dude, Sam LaPorta.
And Sam LaPorta. Sam LaPorta's going to go.
My God. That's his breakout game if Amon Ra can't play. Which I hope he does because, Eliminator League.
And David Montgomery. Should we just be starting David Montgomery? At this point?
You should just start a lot of your Lions players because, they're scoring points at a pretty high rate.
Yeah.
I'm in my happy place with them.
You see Jared Goff call out Fitzpatrick? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
No. What happened?
Fitzpatrick said he was a poor man's Matt Ryan and Goff heard it, so when they had him on, he was like, yeah, I didn't know. I've never considered myself a poor man's anything, but I feel like I'm playing pretty well.
Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not Ron, but I love it.
No.
like a poor man's Matt Ryan went to a Super Bowl and played at an MVP level, and Matt Ryan won an MVP, so I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Goff went to a Super Bowl, just didn't play on a and didn't plan an MVP level. So there you go.
Not in that game.
Matt Ryan Light. He did admit Matt Ryan's not a bad person to be compared to, but no. I didn't know it was a poor man's anything.
That was epic.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Speaking of, there's Fitzpatrick and his shirt is very Partridge Family levels of awesome.
Roschon Johnson has been ruled out.
And I'm scared.
How terrible. Jonathan Taylor has been activated from IR, full participant in practice. The contract situation was an offseason issue, and he's just looking to play some football. You guys can argue Taylor and Moss and how that all matters or doesn't.
I don't think it matters at all. JT all the way, fire him up.
Yeah, Moss is nothing. Yeah. Actually, I just hold him on the bench right now, just because.
No, Moss don't drop him.
Don't drop him.
We'll see what type of workload they give Taylor this week.
Yeah,
I'm just seeing his rush percentage dropping, so.
Yep. But don't drop him.
Don't drop him.
Just
don't
hold him. Because they could keep it split back. Colts could be playing fuckery games and may not give Taylor a full workload. So.
I mean, if they're not going to sign him, they might as well run him to the fucking ground.
Yeah.
And Taylor wants to play because he wants to play well enough to get a new contract. So they're locked in step. He also hasn't played in 4 games. This is perfect. Yep. He can start fresh.
Yep. So just pay attention. Cooper Kupp back at Rams practice, listed as limited but practicing in full as he is likely back. Well, will be back this week in a full go. So we've talked about this a lot, and really as we've been talking about Puka Nacua, I think you're fine with Puka this week. We don't know if they're gonna have Kupp on a pitch count or not. We know that Puka getting 20 targets a week wasn't sustainable. But even if you half his target volume, he's still a very, very usable piece. And we've seen this offense support multiple wide receivers before. So just,
touchdown, Cole Kmet.
Pay attention.
Of course.
you know, you don't, you're not out on Puka. You shouldn't be out on Puka. You know, a rookie that showed what he showed in the first few games is valuable. We'll talk a lot more about him later. But Cup's back and he's going to demand target volume. So just be interesting to watch, I think.
We'll see how much.
Yeah.
I'm still very much, you're playing Puka regardless. Cup, yeah. 30 years old, you know, has had a lot of lingering injury issues, kind of this part of his career. So yeah. Dominant, and obviously Rams are not going to not use him, but.
And that's my argument is that he's going
to
get.
It's hard for me to see McVay want to go away with how good of a coach and play mm-hmm. design McVay is. Like, it's so tough for me to see them just.
That's why I think they yeah. both guys seeing, you know.
Woods and Kupp are both 1,000-yard receivers. So.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They were both top 12 receivers. So both guys seeing 8 to 10 targets a game is not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
And we know in today's NFL, like the offenses that have supported multiple wide receiver ones is pretty limitless at this point. So,
yeah.
Yep. It just takes the ceiling out of both of them a little bit. But
by the dip, if one comes, I guess.
Yep. More on Puka later. Pat Freiermuth, you're going to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. We'll talk about streaming options. But because he was a very popularly drafted tight end in the late-ish rounds. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, 2 to 3 weeks for him with injury. Odell Beckham returned to practice on Wednesday. He ran a route on all of Jackson's dropbacks in week 1. So, be interested to see how that impacts Flowers and Andrews and how they run the offense. It may be better for him. Again, it's just another thing. We only saw 1 week, and Flowers was fine in that week. So.
Flowers, very, very target heavy that week.
Yeah. Keaton Mitchell has returned to practice for Baltimore. This is a guy that I've seen a lot of circles saying, grab and stash, because of Hill and because of his athleticism and the position the Ravens are in with Gus not really taking off and Hill not really taking off. You know, it's not really a secret that you should grab and stash this guy anymore, but it's a popular take that's out there.
Judd, I've been on him for a while.
Should be.
Actually,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him coming in just based on how his speed. Like, I compared him to like a Chris Johnson light, like the way he moved on the East Carolina, because East Carolina, the way he moved on there, like he just had that like 0 to 100 electric speed.
The 88th percentile burst score, 99th percentile 40 yard, you know, 4.37.
Yep.
40 and same burst score. That's pretty home run. As Ryan mentioned, Chris Johnson line, that is a home run hitting
type athleticism. We'll probably get some opportunities. So, and the waiver wire for running backs is pretty barren.
Running backs in general feel very barren.
Just grab one and go. Yeah. And look for the best.
Yep. Everything 0 RB that isn't CMC.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget the amount of points he's like. Look at all the first round players are like, no, they're not hitting. It's like, unless you had.
Wide receivers are hitting like you're supposed to. It's running back. Well, so.
Well, Justin Jefferson's hitting like he's supposed to. You know, he was either the
Hill
one
has,
one or
and Diggs has, Lamb and Brown. Like, there's like the top end receivers are besides Jamar Chase, which isn't his fault right now.
But CMC and Jefferson have been the ones that have been consistent week in, week out. It's they're 20 plus points a week.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, Jefferson almost broke a record. He had one more yard, he would have broke a record. Week 3.
Yeah,
one more.
Breece Hall is off pitch count, so they've removed that. He should be a full go, hopefully relegating Dalvin Cook to change of pace duties.
So fucking happy. The amount of carries they have not given this backfield is also a testament to how much they don't want to give the ball to, you know, Cook and Carter and them.
Mm-hmm.
Breece wheels up, best matchup you can ask for to get the Broncos. Love it. Has there been any defense that has collapsed the way Denver's has? They what were defense? An historically good defense last year.
Yeah, they were.
They are a historically bad. Like, that's fucking nuts to see a defense collapse that much. Like, that hard. And I don't know how many changes. Like, there not had been any significantly big changes. They tried to add Randy Gregory, which was a complete flop. And he got caught already. Them. Yeah, like, fuck. All these players that were supposed to be added to stop, you know, Mahomes in the West, most of them are gone. All of them are gone. J.C. Jackson, you know, got shipped back off to New England. Like,
and he was great. He's the worst cover corner in the league.
He was god off. Like, I've never seen a defense flip that, like, that much. And, like, that's historic. Like, that is so shocking to me.
Yeah.
How bad they were. How bad they've been this year. And it's not like they played against great teams. Washington, Chicago, Raiders. Did they play? I don't remember who they played. Raiders week one. Like, it's just, it's nuts to me.
Yeah. They've been really, really bad. How did we get on the Broncos?
We're talking Breece Hall, and he's playing the Broncos this week.
Ah.
And it just, I've been thinking about that all day. I just wanted to say
about
it.
About how bad they are?
Yeah. About how bad, about historically bad they are.
No.
And now the Breece Hall buy window is going to close here soon.
Bad. Yeah. The offers I've seen, man, people think it's still open. No.
He's about to go off this week. It's going to be huge.
Oh, God. I fucking hope so. I have him in so many places. He's so. He was a value, in my opinion.
Yeah. The Denver thing was really, really interesting to me because people were fading them before the season started, and I was very, very much like, why are people fading them? I don't get it. They were historically good last year. Joke's on me.
I mean, I don't even think people that were fading them thought they'd be this bad.
No.
I blame Sean Payton.
I'm good with that.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Totally good with that.
Yeah.
All right, last one. More of a discussion point. NFL insider Jordan Schultz reports the Panthers want to trade for a number one caliber wide receiver before the trade deadline. So the discussion point here is, one,
they had one.
Yeah, well.
Then they traded them away.
Yeah. Yeah. The discussion point here, though, I think is, one, should they? Because
I think they should.
Could be bad, but they do need to invest in Bryce Young. And two, who's even available that would qualify as a number one caliber wide receiver? Like, looking,
I had one come to mind.
Teams.
Okay. I have two come to mind.
I had one. Ryan, I've talked a bunch. What are yours?
I'm thinking the first one is going to be T. Higgins, just because that way the Cincinnati Bengals offense is
that's
already
the
looking.
Obvious one. Yeah. 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 That's the obvious one.
It, well, and then the other one is Jerry Jeudy.
Does T?
The other one, yeah.
Does T have?
Well, yeah. He's in his final year this year.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is who's a rental, and especially for Jeudy, I don't think he is in his. Jeudy is not in his final year, but for Jeudy, they've got, what is that, Brandon?
Did they pick up his fifth year
Jackson guy or whatever?
Jeudy's no, they haven't picked him up.
Then he's in his final year.
Okay,
that's yeah.
At least I don't think they did.
That Brandon, whatever his name is it Jack Brandon Jackson or Brandon Johnson? I can never remember.
Oh, they're Johnson.
Yeah, he's flashed a little bit that could make Jeudy expendable if they like him. And
the Broncos picked it up. Sorry.
They did, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. My bad.
No, you're good. And I mean, I like him. Marvin Mims has been absolutely electric when Marvin he fucking gets targeted. I guess it's allowed to run routes. Like, oh my God.
But they all have like the same yards between like Mims, Sutton, and Jeudy.
Mims is averaging like 25 yards a catch. He leads the team in yards. And he's playing like 30 snaps a game. It's like, okay, I guess.
It's unreal.
Maybe he can't block very well and he's just never in.
Yeah.
I have no, there's just no excuse for it in my opinion, but
he's just playing his Oklahoma skills, man. He just, you know, be down deep there somewhere. Yeah, he's
Russ is a very, very good deep ball passer, so it does fit very well for him.
Yeah. It does. And those are probably the only two that do start, like, just looking up and down the league and what might hit me. Those are the only couple that strike me as available.
I got an under the radar one. Okay. And that's Rashad Bateman.
I thought that as I was looking up and down, I'm like, if they want to go for somebody that has number one potential, that they might be able to buy low on that's kind of buried. Bateman is the guy.
This could be, you know, there was mumblings in the off season that him and management were getting along. He said his piece on Twitter about it. So there was a lot of buzz about him being moved pre-draft or maybe even during the NFL draft. That didn't obviously happen. They drafted Zay Flowers. They brought him Beckham, you know, new offense, you know, this, that, and the other. And Bateman just hasn't been able to stay healthy this year. He missed last week. He's logging, I think, limited snaps so far this week. So we'll see if he plays against Pittsburgh. But Bateman fits that model outside of, you know, he'll have the option if they don't want to pay him next year, but he's not going to cost the first for them, which they don't have anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't like, he won't cost a second. I think you could probably get him for maybe a late day two or early day three pick. And as Hopper mentioned, that's the upside. He pairs well with Mingo with his skill set. And you have Adam Thielen there to help mentor that too.
Terrace Marshall is actually getting a solid amount of target volume right now too.
Yeah. I like the move overall, not just for Bateman wise, but just the Panthers wanting to do what Chicago did with Fields last year, made the move for Chase Claypool, which obviously didn't work out at all, but wanting to support and build within that structure and give him veteran options, young options to build with, because it's shown success and it just, if for whatever Bryce doesn't work, then you already have a good nucleus in place for playmakers to build with. So,
yeah. Yep, I agree. And then, yeah, no, I don't see anybody else wanting to move somebody in season.
So someone posted and I mentioned Tyler Lockett. I didn't do any research into it.
That doesn't seem like a move, Seattle.
Which is kind of where I end up leaning on anyways.
Carolina should make either, given where Lockett's at in his career.
He's not young, but
yeah.
It's more so, you know, more veteran to put in a young room outside of Thielen. So
yeah, but you already have that in Thielen, and the idea is you want somebody that can grow with Bryce.
Yeah. I leaned off of it after I posted it. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't make much sense. And plus, why would Seattle, when they're trying to be more of a contender this year, and Lockett's been a big part of their offense. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Bengals would move Higgins. He's like, they may not sign him. That feels more of a out of season move. Mm-hmm. Or just let him walk. The Judy one feels like it, because Judy's been linked to trade rumors all off season. He was linked and never moved.
Yep. The other one that probably won't happen, given that they're 3-1, but if they weren't, could, would be Chris Godwin. He's got
Godwin or yeah.
I mean, he's like Judy, has one more year left on his deal after this year. He's got some void years in there, but you know, that's another guy that's what, 27 right now. So you got a few years of him to grow with it, but I don't know. Panthers are, they got to get somebody. And I agree with that. How they do it will remain to be seen.
Cost. Yeah. That's why I like the Bateman one, which makes me sad, but the Bateman one feels like almost a perfect scenario.
It does. I agree.
Like an underwhelming performing player, not because he's been bad, because he's been hurt, rifts with management, being able to get him for cheap ish.
Yep. All right. Changing gears, I am going to sit back and shut up. Dan, you want to take us through some trade discussions?
All right. So, Ryan, we had a huge... All right, so we're going to lead with the one that happened last night.
Actually, hold on. Can I stop you for a second? Yeah, I just saw something that reminded me of something we should have mentioned in the intro. Yeah. Rest in peace, Dick Butkus.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
That was something I just saw before we came on the air. I didn't have it in the news. That's my bad. We should have led with that. But rest in peace to Bears legend Dick Butkus, who passed away today at 80. That's what I wanted to do before I forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Absolutely. Oh. All good.
Moment of silence. Cheers. Cheers and raising the glass. All right. All right. So we had some, we're going to lead with the trade that happened last night because it'll help kind of lead into the one I had queued as, I guess, I thought Hopper remembered but didn't, that happened last week. So Ryan, you'll love this because it involves your team.
Yeah.
So we had a trade last night in my main home dynasty league that I run, that Hopper's in. And Amon-Ra was traded straight up. And you saw this because I queued it out on Twitter too. Amon-Ra was traded straight up for Puka Nacua.
Oh, I saw this, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. No, I'm like, come on.
So I posted it on there and it I didn't see the trade until all the comments came in because I think I was working.
I was,
and it just caused a shit storm in the chat, in our league chat.
I saw a lot of, whoa, what the hell? This is the worst thing I've seen. And then I popped in and I'm like, okay, like.
Someone asked if it was like veto worthy. I'm like, no.
No, it's
what's
not.
What was vetoes? Yeah, there's less of a chance veto worthy. Come on.
Nothing, literally nothing's, unless it's pure collusion, nothing's veto worthy.
Yeah, that's, I not, mean, that's Nacua is like, what, wide receiver 3 right now? So
yeah. Like, and, yeah. This is Dynasty, Ryan, too, by the way. It's Dynasty.
Well, no, I get it's Dynasty.
Yeah. It's not for me, it's in my quick comments it's not a problem with the players. And the person who made the trade for Puka even mentioned himself, it's just a miss. It's just a miscalculation of value. Like, if you want to trade for Puka, like, I understand completely. I've been trying to get him everywhere. If you have St. Brown and you're trying to trade for Puka, the last thing you want to do is trade him straight up because you're just misusing the value you have in St. Brown.
Yeah.
And knowing that you can get draft picks with them or players of draft pick equivalence with Puka to trade, you know, along with Puka in that deal. So, it's not the problem with the players involved. It's just, if you want to take a learning lesson from this, it's don't rush to just make a trade and just have a better understanding of value and why a player is more valuable than another player, even if they're not on the same level of scoring points this season so far. It's
the goal of a trade is to make both teams better, ideally, right? And, you know, better now or better in the long term depends on where the team's at. But the idea is for both teams to get better. And the thing I have a problem with is that the best case for Puka Nacua,
it's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It's an equivalent of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It's literally new Amon-Ra, like, right now.
That's the ceiling for that. And so you can have a personal preference towards a player, but you didn't do anything on the Puka side to make your team.
You got 18 months younger.
Better necessarily. You got 18 months younger. You could have gotten more, but in my opinion, you ended up the best case scenario even. And he was Austin because he listens and he, you know, said he would tune in for this piece. You know, to his credit, he said, you know, worst case scenario is I end up with a better draft position because he didn't send any picks either. But and that's true.
Thank God.
Thank God. That's true. And I definitely see the logic behind, you know, Puka's on a historical pace.
Yeah.
And you can argue this year that could, all things considered, be an even trade. And if you believe in Puka more, you believe in Puka more. But I really think that at the end of the day, the best case scenario is that you look back on that trade and it's a nothing burger because it's even.
There's one thing to say because Puka is more of an outside receiver.
Yeah,
you can get a little more, I guess, bigger, you know, touch on upside value to that. Very minimal, but that's
you can.
I'm not saying he'll get there. Yeah, it's more so if you want to try to find where the upside is. It's
and there's a lot of situational stuff too, right? Yeah. I mean, you've got Cup nearing 30, Stafford nearing the end of his run. That offense could look totally different in 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
Goff on the other hand,
basically
still younger. ARSBs on an offense that's ascending into their window. So,
yeah. Ryan, you got any thoughts?
No, like I'm just sitting here looking at their stats, comparing them. And like basically, if you just go stat for stat wise, you're actually taking a loss by trading Puka Nacua for Amon-Ra St. Brown straight up. But that being said, with Cooper Kupp coming back, like Puka Nacua is not going to be a wide receiver one anymore. Like I just don't see it. But I can still see him being a wide receiver two. So to me, it's a wash, kind of like you guys already said, kind of trade. But I'd actually rather have the St. Brown side just because of
we'd all rather have the St. Brown side.
St. Brown, and like, but, and it speaks to my next, you know, once we transition to the other trade that I'll talk about, we still don't know what Puka, like what we're supposed to see from him for a longevity standpoint. He's played 4 games. Historically, start
to four games, really good games,
but he's played 4 games. St. Brown's been doing this for two and a quarter season, including his breakout, which happened during the fantasy playoffs. Like,
yeah,
Puka is literally the new St. Brown because all people have been doing is arguing how to, like, he has day 3 draft capital, so people are still hinting on that. It's just the real deal. What happens when the starters return? Blah blah this and that. It's literally the same narrative that we have with St. Brown.
It's real. But yeah.
He's not going away. He is going to be productive. We just don't know what that looks like yet. And mm-hmm. it's more of a miscalculation of value, which is, if you can take anything from what we just talked about, it's understand the value of your players, you know, for and first most, and don't try to screw yourself out of it because of a player that you like right now.
Yeah. And I don't know what the dynasty level of experience is there, but that is one of the hardest things for newer dynasty players to
very
to
hard
a lot is how to, and we talked about this.
And he mentioned it in the chat too, that he has a hard time with value.
Yeah. And we talked about this when, you know, with the Cup trade while we were at the actual NFL draft and the shitstorm that caused. And it's just, newer dynasty players struggle to evaluate draft capital and to place appropriate value on draft capital. And that's a trade where you needed some draft capital coming back if you're the Amon-Ra side to make that, you know, kind of level out. And I'm not talking like a first or anything like that, but, you know, a second probably would have
started that offer, because I truly believe Austin sent this first. Like that's a snap, except if you're Yanni, the other guy in this deal.
Oh yeah, it is for sure.
I would have started with, though, you know, Puka in the first. Like, you're aiming high, and I think Puka in the first is still a very fair deal for Amon-Ra to be a perfect.
And if you settle on Puka in a second, then cool.
Yeah. I'll start with Puka in a second as my offer, but I'll still accept Puka in the first. Like,
because that's probably going to be somewhere around the middle of the draft, I think. Yeah, the middle of the round. So.
All right, so let's lead into the one that I've been teasing. So I made a trade in another league of record that Hopper's in. This one's been around for a few years. I'll just tell the trade. So I traded away Anthony Richardson, George Pickens, Tank Dell, and 224 firsts. One of them projected probably top five and worst, top three. In return, I got Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, and a 24-second.
Wow.
This is also very decisive because people love to see big package deals. People love to see big names.
People love big packages.
People love big packages. They love it.
Especially on Sundays.
And this also sparked up a lot of conversation on both sides. A lot more than the one last night, obviously. But it was more so is I didn't offer this deal. So originally this deal was offered to me without Hurts in the deal, and it was a 25 first instead. I flipped that because I'm not moving Richardson without getting a quarterback in return. And I sent him back that counter. I didn't think he would accept it because this guy's team is very good. Moving Hurts and Jefferson made zero sense to me. But he offered Jefferson in this deal, so I knew that he was available. And he accepted it. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. A lot of people were more in between on it.
I was in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be in between it too.
The problem is, without knowing the rosters, this team looks very obvious as a, this is a win now team versus a team that's rebuilding. My entire goal this season was to use the wide receiver depth I had and to improve it. Well, I improved it tenfold. Losing Richardson and getting Hurts probably will probably be even at the end of the day, but Hurts has been doing this for a lot longer, and Richardson is still three games into his career. So a lot to be seen.
Out of the game too. So.
Yes, exactly. And again, you know, concussions or whatever, but that's still maybe a little uneven. Again, it's the person that I traded with that it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, he's got McCaffrey, he's got Kelce, he's won a championship before with his core. He has such a good team. It's, what does this trade that, like, what is the purpose of this deal? If your window should be now, like, if you're going to make trades, why not just trade away McCaffrey and Kelce if you're looking for a retool? Because a rebuild makes no sense right now. You have the players you want to rebuild with. You have Hurts, top three dynasty quarterback, and you have Jefferson, who's the number one, who's the top receiver in dynasty. Like, you have the pieces you would want. Why would you move off of to – why would you downgrade from Jefferson to Pickens and Dell, who, yes, great, they've shown good promise so far, especially Dell. But, again, three games into his career when this trade was made. And the two firsts is wash because you don't know what he's going to do with them. It was a pretty huge trade when it happened. And if you guys have your, I'll shut up. You guys can give your thoughts.
If I remember,
so what are the first? Oh, go ahead.
Nah, you do it.
So the first 2 round picks, what are they?
Like, so they're both 24 firsts. So they're mine. Mine's one of them, and obviously projected late is the goal. And the one that I also gave them is a projected probably top three.
Whose was it?
Corey's. Corey's. So her roster is pretty rough. Like,
oh yeah,
obviously, you know, top five at worst for him for this guy.
I remember now. That was my take. Was the you know, it's a top. You know, you got a top three pick coming back.
Probably Caleb or, you know, Marvin Harrison or Drake May if things end up the way that I think a lot of people think they will be.
Right.
That's what you're looking at now.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds better.
So it's going to look, I think in people's eyes, it's they see draft picks and they immediately want to side with, well, all these young players. The point of making deals like this is to get to players' levels of Hurts and Jefferson. That's
how you do it. Yeah.
That's how you want to hit those guys. You had that guy, then you traded him. Like, the one thing that he doesn't have is depth, but you're in a win now mode. Like, the whole point is to get pieces to help you win a championship, and that doesn't help you win one.
Yeah. And that goes into just knowing where your team is. It's another thing about that's more, if you put the value in a vacuum, it's probably okay. But I mean, I think it is okay, but not knowing but once you factor in the rosters and, you know, where the teams are and what should be going on, it's kind of like, okay, why'd you do that?
Yeah. I mean, this is also, and I don't mean to pick on him. He's done very well in this league. It's also the same person that traded Josh Allen away for Josh Jacobs in a package deal. And a super, like, in a super flex. I'm like, you have Allen, Hurts, and Jefferson as your core with McCaffrey and Kelce. Like, you have like a dream.
You're in a great spot.
Win now. And you, like,
you do it all away.
I saw the Allen deal come through. I think it was really late offseason, like in August at some point. I was like, what? Why? Like, I get you want an RB2, but man, peanuts. That's just, again, you know, understanding value and have a plan. Like, the a lot of the worst things you can do is just get caught up in hype and then lose all train of thought as to why you're building the team the way that you're building your team. And don't just ruin it because of some hot names.
Right.
And plus, people like to kick it. Like, love to kick the can because they want more and more picks. Like, it's just like, they don't want to take time to, like, watch their team develop. It's like, you know what, if I get that pick, you know, if it's number three, or it could be number one. I could be getting Caleb Williams, but okay. So
that's not even guaranteed. It's not. He hasn't declared yet.
Say it gets worse, you know, and then all of a sudden it doesn't look as good. Like how we are all hyping the 2024 pick, or not 2024, but 2023 picks.
Look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was deemed the greatest fucking prospect of the world. And I promise you right now, he's not lived up to the hype that he got. And in fact, he's looked pretty
average.
Pretty below average so far to start the year. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But in all honesty, I'd give him credit because his receivers did drop a lot of touchdowns. So his stats would look a lot better if they didn't drop those touchdowns.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
But yes.
But drops happen on every
team. I'm still behind him. Yeah. But I mean, like, he has like 4 or 5 touchdowns that have been dropped.
Oh, yeah. It's been bad. It's been a little rough for Trevor. And I'm not saying that, you know, Mr. Lawrence ain't going to be able to be fine. Don't fall too in love with the allure of what a player might be.
Exactly, because anytime you do that, you over trade for it, and it's just like Jesus Christ. I mean, I think you originally had that pick, and I think you traded it away, if I remember correctly. And
I got this pick 2 years ago in a deal that I traded away Russell Wilson for. Like I got lucky in this deal. It was last year. I've had a lot of picks in this league, and I was trying to consolidate them into actual players that are going to be productive. And yeah. We'll see. I don't know if I won a championship, but I don't have any first round picks now in that league. a lot of seconds, and also trying to get Puka.
Hey, yeah. Just trade all your seconds up for a first.
Yeah, right. It's also an IDP league, so more value being pushed on,
which is fun. You can build through defense.
Oh man, I love
doing second rounders.
I love IDP because you can hide a bad positional group on offense with good IDP players. I've been learning a lot.
I've been really more into IDP.
I want more leagues. Oddly enough, I want more IDP leagues.
All right. One more trade to discuss. I want to talk redraft trade. The one I made earlier this week. And this is not a situation where it was one side's bad, the other side's bad. This is a strategy thing because it was very meh. The trade was... what was the trade?
Hold on. You texted to us, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. So I'm going to look at. I think it was ETN and McLaurin for Olave, or was it?
It was you sold Kyren. No.
Oh.
You no. sold Haya McLaurin. It was McLaurin and Achan.
It was McLaurin and Achan for Olave, what it was. So this is about trading from surplus to get better at a deficit. So. That particular team, you know, you look at Achan blowing up. What do you do? Well, okay, I got a team at that point that has 5 top 15 running backs on it. Can only start 3. They have 5 top 15 running backs, but no receiver that's higher than the wide receiver 27. I had Devonta Smith, but wide receivers 2 and 3 were both 27 or lower. So, okay, what do I want to do? You trade from surplus to get better at wide receiver. I had to throw what was my current wide receiver 2 in there to get it done, but that's okay because what I'm getting back is an upgrade on that position from a player that was essentially going to ride my bench he wouldn't ride my bench every week, especially if he continues to blow up. But, you know, somebody's going to be riding my bench that I don't feel good about riding my bench when I've got Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and Kyren Williams and forget who the other one was on that squad.
Achan.
No, it was, it was Achan at the time. You're right. Well, no, there were 4 in. Could I still have 4 top 15 backs on that team? Hold on.
Just the Finkel league?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Oh, yeah, Swift.
I got Swift on there, right. So Swift and Jacobs and Henry and Kyren. And, oh, yeah, after I did that, I got Jaleel McLaughlin off waivers. So, we'll talk about that here in a minute because Javonta is turning towards potentially not playing.
He's probably going to be out for at least a week.
Yeah.
It's what I've been hearing.
Right. And even then, he hasn't looked great. So this is a situation where you could see a shift there. But in any event, the idea, and this is what you really should be doing if you're looking at trades right now, trade from surplus, find somebody that has a deficit where your surplus is, see if you can match it up that way, and upgrade it, you know, where your deficit may be. Because that's a trade that makes both teams better. He was in the market for a running back. I had 5 in the top 15. I was in the market for an upgrade at wide receiver. He had, I think, 3 in the top 20 or 4 in the top 20. So you can make a deal happen there. I didn't get his wide receiver 1. He didn't get my top back, but you can play it. So that's just the strategy discussion. Let's hit a beer review and then we'll get into some of the recaps and stuff.
Beer review.
So what I don't know about this Out of Bounds, No Bounds Brown Ale is if it's supposed to be an English or an American. Tastes a little more English to me. The difference between the two is American browns are going to be hoppier. English browns are going to be more caramely and chocolatey. This one has a very good amount of caramel to it. It's got some of like that light caramel sweetness going on from the malts. It's got a good bready note, a good toasted note on the back end. Gives a just maybe a hint of roastiness too, kind of like a dark chocolate that's there underneath that sweetness. A little bit of hot bittering, not so much in the way of aroma or anything like that, which makes me think this is more English. But yeah, overall, it's a little bit more caramely than I prefer, but it's still really well done. So I'm a fan. Khalil Herbert's on his way to the medical tent now after Roschon Johnson being ruled out.
Yeah, the Herbert injury was off of a low throw
and a dive backwards.
Adjustments. It looked like he either twisted up his knee. The way that it landed looked like he twisted up his knee. So hopefully nothing serious.
And Deonta Foreman's inactive. So
Justin Fields be going well over the 8.5 carries now that I didn't want him to go over.
Yeah, right. With Deonta Foreman inactive and Johnson and Herbert both going off, that leaves Travis Homer.
Well, at least Deontay will be active next week.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm probably starting if there's any significant time missed by
if Herbert's
Roschon or Herbert.
Yeah, if Herbert's able to keep playing, I'll keep playing.
But, we'll keep you updated for the 69 listeners.
Yep.
69.
Nice. All right.
Piggity.
Dan, go ahead.
All right. So again, I am drinking the caramel crisp. It doesn't say on the website if it's a brown ale. It just says ale. The website has it as just says ale on it. 450 pounds of Garrett popcorn, brown sugar, rye malt, lactose, and kosher salt. I am not a fan. It's when I first poured it, there was some metallic taste to it, so I let it open up and breathe for a bit. That thankfully went away. Very, very salt finish, very dry. And just a very off flavored sweetness. Like it almost tastes fake, which could be because they put in 450 pounds of popcorn of this probably, you know, caramel popcorn. I it's done exactly the way they intended though. Like it's a beer that I don't particularly like that was done exactly the way that I thought it should and would be. And I'm sure there's a good crowd for it that would like this. It's just not for me. It sounded interesting. I was out in doing my route today for work and I saw it pop up. I'm like, fuck it. I haven't had Revolution in a while. So
nice.
Might as well give it a try. But if you like these, if you like more of these style of beers, more of these style of ales, it's
desserty.
It's not even that it's desserty because it's not, it's sweet, but it's not like stout wise. So the body in itself, because it's not a heavy beer, like you're not getting chocolate to it with the malts that are likely being used or being added. Because
so there's no balance.
Yeah, it's sweet, very sweet, and like a fake sweet almost to the salt finish. Medium-ish body. It's just, it's missing, I think, the thickness that if it's this was done in a stouter porter that you can also build with, but they're not trying to go for chocolate flavor or chocolate notes. So,
right.
Like I said, I don't know if they've done this a bunch or not. I don't know if how well it's done in the markets or anything, but I'm sure people have, it's a 3-month season, so I'm sure people have enjoyed it. And maybe it's better on draft, but you know, I still got 3 cans of it because yay, 4 packs, but
hooray. That's not like the build your own like 6 packs. I try to do that sometimes. It's like, I want to try the spirit, but I don't want like 3 other ones or I don't want 6 other ones.
Probably, probably
normally I would
do that. 6 packs is everyone around here is like, here's the shit that's not selling. Let's split it into a build your own 6 pack.
Well, that and there's a cost that it generally starts with. I love places that would just sell singles.
Yeah.
Like, don't matter. Like, I truly wish more breweries would incorporate the 2 packs, especially in stouts and barrel aged beers. But it gets kind of infuriating when it's, I have to buy a 4 pack of random.
The funny thing is, like, my local grocery store used to have like build your own 6 packs. And I'd look at the shelf and I'm looking at the individuals. I'm like, it's $9.99 if I build a 6 pack, or I can buy the regular 6 pack for $12.99. So I just grab 6 off this off the shelf and be like, all right, I'm gonna build this 6 pack for, you know, $3 less. So
right.
I think everyone else started doing that, so they stopped doing that.
Yeah, you gotta be careful when you're if you're a place of business doing some sort of discounted mixture packs.
Hey, yeah, Ryan. Like, they don't count it. I'm like, oh cool, I'll take it.
Right.
So I am drinking Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It's hearty and smooth. It is a, they said Marzen. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
All right. So it's right. Which kind of gives it a caramel. I feel like
Märzen.
Märzen. We're American. So Marzen. We pronounce
whatever
it
you guys, wrong. What do you guys say on that side of the pond?
Yeah. Märzen.
But yeah, it's just, it's last year, it seemed like it was a little bit more caramely. This year doesn't seem as caramely. It's kind of more like it has a caramel hint to it, but it's more smashable in a way because like I'm already at my second one and it's already almost gone. So it's very smooth, very easy to drink, and goes down very quickly, which is probably why I have red cheeks, but it's not.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, it's
that's just my normal look.
It's definitely the most well-known and sought-after Oktoberfest beer for the masses in the States. Sam Adams, I mean, I would sell a metric shit ton of it. And the only one that would sell post-October. It's definitely on the... I know it's a bit on the lighter side when it comes to most of the American Märzen-style Oktoberfest, which we need more fest beer. Like, let's be real, Hopper. I think you agree.
There's one in Cincinnati.
We need more fest beer.
We do.
We need more light and bready. But I may not like it. It's not my favorite Oktoberfest, but the masses do. Man, people love that Sam Adams Oktoberfest. My God.
Yes, they do.
They love it.
I'm one of them.
You're the mass.
I got a 28 pack of it, so.
All right. Interesting. Let's move on. You got a 28 pack of it?
Yeah, they sold it at BJ's. So I was like,
28?
Yeah.
Is that like a Costco style place you bought it from? Or Sam Adams style?
They're from the East Coast. They're starting to move further west. So
okay. We've been approached by Sam Adams at Costco like that way. That like specific packaging for them because it's like all bulk buy. Yeah.
It's like a case, but +4, but less than a cube, -4.
It's big, yeah, yeah. I want a 28 pack, please. I want 8 of 4 different beers.
And we want 22. We want $28. That way, people can get a steal out of it.
That's right. I want 7.
That's a dollar a beer.
I want 4. I want 7 different beers, and I want 4 each, please.
Yes, please.
All right. So we're going to talk some statistical leaders here real quick as we roll through this episode. So we'll start off with the quarterback. We'll start off with some not good stuff. So guys right now with over 140 pass attempts, by the way, Matt, to give you some context there, Matthew Stafford leads the league in pass attempts with 166. The fewest out of a starter right now is a four-game starter is Lamar Jackson with 105. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a variance there, but actually Zach Wilson has already thrown more than Lamar Jackson. Well, that makes sense.
Well, they've been playing from behind a lot more than Baltimore hats.
They have been. So anyway, guys with over 140 pass attempts and below below 1,000 yards passing so far, Joe Burrow is 151 pass attempts and just 728 yards. Everybody knows he's off to a bad start. 11.2 fantasy points per game.
It's been I understand why
he's not healthy.
They try to trot him out there.
No, he's not healthy at all.
It, like, this is the downside of playing in a hyper, you know, competitive division and conference. They got to sit him. Like, they got to make sure he's 100, because that O line, like, they've been trying to patch this O line up constantly, and they just can't.
Yeah, and if, like, he can't move, then
he's a sitting duck in pockets. He's already fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Like, there's no mobility. There's no movement for him in the pocket. Like,
they should have just played Jake Browning.
They should have just sat him and just eat the slow start.
You'd be 1-3 or 1-4. That, you know, how much? What's the difference?
They're an ugly 1-3 now, and they haven't been able to sit Burrow. So,
it's an ugly game. Ugly team right now. You had Chase who went off a couple weeks ago. That was great, but last week he once again just did nothing.
You just have to eat it with Chase, because you see the upside, obviously.
Yeah.
The 12 catches on 14 targets in week 3 against the Rams, but it's been their only win. And Burrow's bench, Burrow's timeout, and in single QB leagues,
droppable, probably.
Droppable. I'm sorry. Yeah, at this point, what are you fucking waiting on? Like, you got Stroud blowing up. Do you have a bench deep enough? I guess.
Yeah.
But he doesn't offer rushing upside, so he's basically he's Zach Wilson, but with a bigger name. I think Zach Wilson, is outperforming him.
Yeah,
even Sam Howell's outperforming him.
Sam Howell's been pretty good this year, oddly.
He's doing really good right now. Actually, he almost got 200.
Then he just got sacked. Then he just got blown up.
He's also got 4 touchdowns, 5 picks, and he is
low expectations.
He's the last guy on this list we're actually going to talk about that's got 140 pass attempts under 1,000 yards. So
it does look pretty bad.
Yeah. So Mac Jones, 146 for 898. Not a great supporting cast around him. And I think that it's just kind of expected that that's how New England was going to be. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is the other one here that's surprising. 943 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. Just not what we expected out of Jacksonville, especially after week 1.
I'm hearing OC problems. It's like it's something to do with it's not Doug Peterson, and the team looks flat. A lot of, as Ryan mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of drop touchdowns from guys who, you know, Calvin Ridley's dropped, I think, a couple.
Yes.
It's been rough sledding, but the Jags in general just have not looked like, I did not watch the London game. I was still sleeping. I will mention, but it's not been pretty for them.
Yeah. All right. Your yardage leaders so far this year. We'll switch gears. Sam Howell is playing right now. So, but yeah, he was, and he is about the same boat as Trevor Lawrence, really, a couple more picks, but
he's averaging more points per game than Trevor Lawrence.
That he is. Hey. Passing yard leaders, Tua's up there with 1,300. Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and CJ Stroud is fourth in the league in pass yards.
No picks.
6 touchdowns. Could not have asked for a better start. And he's got receivers around him that are looking competent. Like, I mean,
not well-known receivers. Like,
no, it's Nico Collins
and Tank Dell. A little bit of Robert Woods. That's about it.
Yeah.
And Dalton Schultz.
But you know, good on him. I mean, this is a better start to his career than I think a lot of us were expecting. Landing in Houston, we were kind of prepared for the first year to be mediocre, and so far it's not bad.
He has been, as a lot of people would say, the best quarterback in the AFC South so far.
He has been.
You know, obviously for fantasy, you can say what you will about Richardson, but Stroud has looked
very
incredible.
Good.
And Houston may have lucked into another quarterback that they'll piss off in 7 years straight away.
Indeed. And then probably your biggest name near the bottom, other than, well, your only real surprise is Joe Burrow being in the bottom third, 27th in yardage. Probably really the only big surprise there. Touchdown leaders, Kirk Cousins leads the league in touchdowns with 11 right now. Handful of guys behind him at 9. Jordan Love up there with 8, though.
Insane touchdown rate.
Yeah.
And very low completion percentage. Yeah. Love's played better than what I expected. I had pretty low expectations for him. Wasn't a fan of his film. So not really a big fan, but scoring fantasy points.
He's in the same realm touchdown rate wise as Russell Wilson, who historically runs for a really, really high touchdown rate efficiency, and Tua at the moment.
Yeah.
Are all in the same boat.
Yeah. We'll see if that holds up for Mr. Love. Very, very low completion percentage and just low overall EPA for most games.
Baker and Fields look like they might have a higher touchdown rate too. 7 on 120-ish attempts.
Baker's seven coming on back, baby.
Oh my God, Ryan. Ryan! This is finally happening!
My resurrection here.
Outside against Philadelphia, which the whole team looked bad. Bayfield feeling confident, showing the swag. Apparently, the team fucking loves him. He took the O-line out to the Bahamas this year. He's out. People say he's out regularly with Mike Evans and Godwin. Like,
all you had to do is go further south. You know, the further south you got, the better.
Good for him.
Love Baker. There's nothing more than what I wanted to see at Baker Redemption. And there's a guy here in town that I do, you know, that I've been friends with here now the past few months. Is a huge Bucks fan. And he just talks shit about Baker. I'm like, I'm just telling you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's here. It's
he doesn't know. He doesn't know me.
He just doesn't know yet.
I don't give up.
He's also a big Pickett fan, which, you know. Yeah.
Sorry to hear. Sorry for your loss.
I kept telling him, my Pickett sucks. So just move on.
It's okay. Just put in Trubisky.
Well, he's going to be in now.
Jimmy G and Daniel Jones leading the league in interceptions. Garoppolo a little bit surprising there. Nobody's probably surprised about Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is second in the league in rush yards. Justin Fields is actually 5th right now. Joshua Dobbs with more rush yards than Justin Fields.
Well, this is what happens when you have a competent play calling the first 3 weeks. But Josh Dobbs, can we talk about Josh Dobbs? Mr. Punt, the football himself, he's looked good. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, he's a QB 20 by points per game, but from an NFL perspective, he's looked great.
I mean, 19-2 is more stream of points than Lawrence and.
Yeah, he's higher than Lawrence. Yeah. And he's Garoppolo a fine and streaming Jones, option. Or Daniel this Jones week. And some guys that were drafted for sure. He's a fine streaming option. You were right. Your leaders in points per game, we can throw out Andy Dalton. He only started one. Allen Herbert, Cousins to Anthony Richardson is 9th. Jordan Love is 10th. So a couple notables there. Brock Purdy at 15th. Very streamable.
I don't think any of these are shocking. So obviously Dalton, but this because, you know, one game.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think so either.
Dak Prescott, 16.4.
Yeah, pretty low. A lot lower 26. Than people were expecting.
Yeah, he was good. He's looking like a game manager out there. Only 43 rushing yards, 900 passing yards. Obviously, one pick, 4 touchdowns. So he's doing his best impression of rookie year Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Without the rushing yards.
Speaking of rushing yards, that's where we're headed. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey is leading the world right now by just south of 100 over DeAndre Swift. for the rushing.
What do you
title.
Think his MVP odds are? Do you think there's like, I know, you know, quarterback reigns supreme in this, but yeah, he literally is San Francisco.
He's like, carrying the team.
He is.
He's carrying everything. Like he is. Oh my God. I don't ever want him to quit. I love McCaffrey.
Yeah.
White chocolate out there just doing everything.
Some other notable things going on in the rushing yard department. We'll get to receptions here in a minute. There are two pieces. This is James Conner's third, which is quietly pretty freaking good.
The Arizona Lions, man.
Yeah.
The Arizona Lions of 2 years ago. Like,
yeah.
We made mock Gannon's speech that he had there on good old Knox, but not Knox, whatever he was on, but
yeah,
the team is playing their fucking asses off. I've been very impressed by the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're playing to win, and they shouldn't be, but they're winning. they're making games competitive.
They blow out Dallas and everyone. I don't say they blew up Dallas, but they beat Dallas, so we're all happy about that.
Indeed. A-Chain is A-Chain is sixth in rushing yards, and he has about half the carries of anybody else in the top 27. 27. McCaffrey is your rush touchdown leader right now. Some guys that are being tremendously inefficient with their carries. James Cook is not. Derrick Henry has been uncharacteristically inefficient. Just 285 yards and 73. I think Henry turns it around.
Yeah, I mean, last week was a big one too of seeing where the rebound after was it 2 weeks ago where I think he got like 2 yards rushing, like it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Everyone was ready for Tajay Spears at that time.
Yeah. It's been his odd low snap counts. Like it's been a lot of Spears. Mm-hmm. You know, potentially if Tennessee kept losing, it looked like they were gearing up to trade Henry, show him off just enough, but not, you know, overwork him where you risk him getting hurt. But
plus, Henry threw his fourth passing touchdown of his career. So the run and jump,
you gotta love pass. It. It is
the Tim Tebow of passes.
It is the Tim Tebow pass. Touchdowns, not a whole lot there. David Montgomery has 5 in 3 games, which is great. But McCaffrey and Mostert at the top of that list. McCaffrey should surprise nobody. Receiving leaders right now, your highest back has 25 targets. That is Josh Jacobs.
Finally!
Yeah.
He's being used the way that people liked him coming out of Bama.
Just one touchdown, not super efficient in the run game, but
he had that like negative yardage game, I think, a few weeks back.
Yeah, it's him and Miles Sanders and then Bijan, Jalen Warren, Tyron Williams, and Christian McCaffrey all over 20 targets so far. So all pacing for, you know, in the 80 to 100 target range.
We had Jalen Warren on pace for 88 targets.
Nobody, and he's been really inefficient with it.
He's been worse than Najee. It's like, hey, let's utilize a least efficient back than Najee. It's backup.
But he's got so many targets. He's a target leader.
It makes no sense. Why? That's why Matt Canada should be fucking like oh, we're so
sick of football. We're not making any one changes. We like how our offense is going. Okay.
All right. I'm like, this might be what gets Mike Tomlin fired. It's unrelenting loyalty to Matt Canada. He must have incriminating pictures with somebody.
Got to.
It has to.
Got to. Your points per game leaders, McCaffrey, A-Chain. Really up strength of one game. Eckler, who's only played one game.
Eckler back, please.
Next week. And yes. Let's see. David Montgomery's up there. Kyron Williams is up there.
Zach Moss
is up there in top 12 range. Really, Joe Mixon at 26, given how bad that offense is, shouldn't be a surprise. Rashad White at 24 is about, I think, right where. I don't know, Dan, is that expectations for White being the very back end RB2, or were you expecting more out of him? You were the biggest fanboy.
I mean, it's been bad, but he's holding down the backfield despite very many claims of Sean Tucker and now Keyshawn Vaughn nipping at the heels. It's White was inefficient at times last year. He's a bigger upright runner, but Baker's given him receiving work. It's just, yeah. He's the RB too. I mean, it's a very replaceable range, but I mean, when you get to that 12 less points per game, they're all pretty much replaceable.
Yeah, and he's sitting at 12-1. Some other guys a little lower than expected. Derrick Henry already talked about. ETN and Jacobs are at the 18 and 19, 13-9, and 14-5. It's generally okay, but I think those are two guys people expected to be more up towards the top five. Not in James Cook and Isaiah Pacheco range. Which James Cook, by the way, sitting in the same range is more of a compliment to him. As he's taking over that backfield. So
Miles Sanders 32, 23 target. Like we talked about him in target range. And
yeah.
What about, I don't know if we're going to get there, but what about Brian Robinson?
Fantastic. Ninth in points per game. Getting no pass catching work. So
obviously he has he's 3 for 3 today for 38 yards right now.
And Gibson had a huge catch.
He did.
But it's been the Brian Robinson show.
Yeah, 61 for 261. He's been solid. I got him at 14th in PPR points.
Oh, just nice more.
Anyway, on to wide receivers. Continue to talk about leaders. Your target leader for wide receivers is Puka Nacua by 2 over Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, all over 40. Highest surprise, Tutu Atwell at 12, maybe?
Rams are throwing a lot. It's a good sign for, for what Kupp could get and what we expect the downhill, back down the earth, Puka. Rams are going to throw the football.
Yeah.
Like Romeo, the return of Kupp is only a good thing.
Yeah. Romeo Dobbs is also top 15 there in target volume. So that's interesting. Packers are still kind of what we're watching for somebody to break out. I've thrown a coin on Jaden Reed after the last couple weeks, but Dobbs is getting volume.
And this is still in the return of Watson, who's played for at least a couple games in this.
Mm-hmm.
Something to still keep note of. It may not pretty, but if Dobbs is going to continue to get this volume, that's a good flex option during those hellish bye weeks.
Yeah, he's not been super efficient with it, but I agree. No, no real surprises in the receiving game, though. Puka Nacua is probably a surprise, but not if you've been paying attention. He leads interceptions at 39, but behind that, Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Diggs, A.J. Brown, Chase, Tyreek Hill, Thielen, Pittman, ARSB. Zay Flowers is up there, probably other than Nacua, the most productive rookie receiver right now.
Yeah, the only other one. And even then, it's light years behind what we're getting from Puka.
Right. It's a lot back. Christian Kirk is up top 15 in that again. 2-2 again. Nico Collins. We talked about him earlier in the show. He's having a great start to his season.
Fishing wide receivers, man.
20 fantasy points a game. So, yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah. Looking on the downside of this, not really a ton of surprises on the low end. Calvin Ridley fell off a little bit after week one. A lot of people were expecting him to grab that, and we kind of said, hold on, wait a minute. He hasn't played in 2 years. Don't discount what Kirk's doing. And they've both been all right, but he's a bit down.
Yeah, a couple of drop touchdowns as we've gradually keep mentioning on the show. We'll do that to you. You can kind of look at that as a potential buy low too. He's getting the opportunities. Jacksonville, I would expect is going to right the ship. Doug Peterson takes back over, or they'll make the changes they need to make to get themselves back into division winning contention. So by that, I did say buy a little low on that really dip there.
Indeed. Yardage, Nico Collins is a surprise top 10 guy. And Puka again. Puka and Nico are going to be the two, I think, consistently pop up as surprises here.
I wouldn't even give a nod to Pittman, just given people's expectations of the Colts offense. I was very low. He was a popular sell high or avoid because of the expectations of a Richardson-led offense was going to be pretty fruitless less for their wide receivers. And Pittman, outside of, you know, points per game because touchdowns are low, he's been good for PPR leagues.
Yeah.
He's been very consistent too.
Yep. And a guy that shows up down here in the 30s that's up and coming that I think deserves a mention is Michael Wilson in Arizona.
Oh, yes.
Last couple weeks have been really, really good. If he's on waivers, you should have him. If you were in Dynasty, you should have picked him up on waivers 2 weeks ago. But rookie receiver with really good size there in Arizona, taking over on the outside.
Yep. I'm taking a victory lap on our draft. I did really good on our draft in one of our leagues.
Yeah.
Because he was one of my picks. I was like, hell yeah. Finally, I'm doing something right.
Hell yeah.
By the way, paying attention.
Every now and then you find a little diamond in the rough.
Like they say, the blind squirrel finds a nut, which I'm still looking to see that.
There are only three position players over 100 points right now. It's Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Christian McCaffrey. So wide receivers far outpacing running backs and points scored. The parity there is decent, to say the least. For receivers, your top receiver is outscoring the wide receiver 9 by 6 points a game right now. That's Justin Jefferson. You got to also a pretty wide margin between 1 and 24 in points per game. It's like 12 points per there. Once again, shifting towards draft wide receivers early instead of running backs, because once you get outside of Christian McCaffrey, the delta in points per game is, really, once you get outside of, there's a 4-point delta from McCaffrey to the pack. But then the delta from 2, which is Achan, down to 24 is 14 points. So,
yeah.
But it gets pretty clustered once you get down beyond running back 9 or 10 or so. Tight end position, just because your target leader at the tight end position right now is TJ Hockenson, followed by Zach Ertz. But no touchdowns for Ertz and yardage not great. Then Ingram and Sam Laporta.
It's been a weird year for tight ends. Obviously, Kelsey missing the first week. I mean, the whole week one was
even Kelsey
bad
was
for
like,
tight ends.
But Kelsey's still not even looking like Kelsey. So it's kind of hard. Like, all tight ends are
I don't know what's year. Like. Tight ends have just been like, people are like, buy high. I'm like, on who?
On who?
Like, sell high on Sam Laporta. For who?
For Kelsey? Who? Right.
In Dynasty, sure. Yeah, I get that. But like,
there's a 6 points. There's a 6-point difference right now between Mark Andrews points per game difference between Mark Andrews,
Josh Wiley,
and Josh Wiley, who's
Josh
only played
Wiley,
one.
He's played one game.
He's played one game, but Jake Henry. Ferguson. So, Hunter Henry is up there. Farrell Brown right now in points per game is your tight end too because he had one really big catch. That's how bad this is. One really big catch in 1 week, 2 targets, 2 receptions. You're the tight end too in points per game. If you go by overall fantasy points right now, TJ Hockenson leads the pack. But you don't have to go that far down to Cole Kmet at 3 to figure out that one big game makes a difference.
And Komet's had a nice game. Obviously, Mark Andrews had the big 2-touchdown game last week. Mm-hmm. Hock's probably been your most consistent, and it hasn't just been pretty.
He has.
No, Laporta's been the more consistent one.
Laporta, yeah. I mean, you're happy with both.
Yeah, as bad as it sounds, like it's like, you know, you don't want to rely on a rookie tight end, but this year it's not bad looking.
At some point, historically, you're going to have to get some changes, and it, I guess it took this tight end, this one specific tight end, I guess, in this case.
Leads all tight ends in yards.
We need it. I'll be honest. Yeah. With Pitts being wasted away in Atlanta and some of these other guys not taking massive steps forward, it's...
Yeah.
Sam Laporta show.
Hawk Ingram Laporta right now.
It's
Is it just like
Sam Laporta's world, we're just living in it.
And just for fun, rookie kicker Brandon Aubrey is the kicker one.
Yeah.
At the quarter point.
Let's go.
Love to see.
Jake Moody. Jake Moody. Kicker six. Pretty good. You have six kickers over 40 fantasy points right now. You have six kickers in double digits. It's Moody, Fairbairn, Bass, Maher, Elliott, and Aubrey in double-digit points per game.
Washington's making this game a game.
But yeah, this is what the Bears do.
They collapse.
They collapse.
No, they're driving. It's literally on the over-under line. I'm like, hold them to fourth down and not let them get it. That's what I'm literally what I'm praying for. I'm like, they're not going to go for a field goal. So let's go, for the love of God, please just don't let them score any points. I want a dirty win on a under call.
Yep. All right. Checking in on teams. Bronco, most fantasy points allowed, top four to quarterbacks with Broncos, Chargers, Colts, and Bears. Highest passing yardage allowed, top four, Chargers, Seahawks, Broncos, and Colts. So Colts and Broncos right now seem like a decent start. Two teams that have been up double-digit pass touchdowns, it's the Bears and the Broncos. Broncos are booty cheeks, apparently. Most rushing allowed to a quarterback, the Cowboys actually giving up a ton of rushing on the ground. Colts, Commanders not far behind. So Colts and Broncos, names that keep popping up there.
Again, Broncos just shocked me. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel.
Yay, that helps no one.
Gross.
Best team, your bottom four in points per game. Really, we'll go bottom several because there's a clear delta from 27 below. So in order of don't start your quarterbacks, Panthers, Bills, Cowboys, Browns, Ravens, Patriots have all been really good against quarterbacks. Fewest touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks right now. Really the same. Cowboy in passing. Cowboys, Texans, Patriots, Browns, Ravens, Rams. Fewest rush yards allowed to quarterback. Right now it's the Panthers again. Titans, Browns, Chargers, Bills, Patriots. Patriots across the board. Top six against the quarterback in the league. All right, on to more fun stuff.
I 8 picks the Bills have generated. I'm looking at.
Yeah.
The Texans have only given up 2 passing touchdowns.
Yep.
So is Dallas.
Yeah. That's 7 picks for the Cowboys.
That's going to probably change against San Fran Sunday night, but Jesus, like that's Denver. I'm just shocked. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What the fuck happened?
All right, running backs. 3 teams have given up less than 200 yards rushing so far this year. Did I just pick out the 2? That was the worst 2-point try ever. 3 teams have given up less than 200 rush yards this year. They are the Eagles, Lions, and 49ers. Rushing yards allowed right now. The Broncos are tops there because they're ass. But Broncos, Steelers both giving up over 500 yards, over 450. You can add in the Panthers, Giants, Packers. Apparently, you can run against the Panthers, but not throw against them.
I mean, it's also, you know, when you look at these, also take into account some of these games could have been game really scripted.
Yeah.
Which is why, if you look at, as you mentioned, the bottom of the teams here, you know, Buffalo, or not Buffalo, San Fran, Detroit, Philadelphia, all have had, I think, multiple blowout wins. So
they have.
Those cases would make sense.
Yep. No touchdowns allowed to running backs right now. The Falcons, Bucks, Browns, Saints, and Ravens all have yet to give up a rushing touchdown.
Interesting. Bucks won't because they're on bye week.
No, they will not. Receiving yards allowed and receiving yards in general. This is Chargers, Broncos, and Bears giving up the most receiving yards to backs. Again, this goes into just who teams have played and things like that. We're not going to get that deep into it.
Yeah.
Broncos, Bears, Cardinals giving up the most receiving touchdowns. Points per game. Broncos, Bears, Cardinals, Panthers giving up the most points per game to running backs. Fewest Eagles, Browns, Cowboys. And mean, the Broncos are just ass at everything. Chargers giving up the most passing yards. Shouldn't surprise anybody that's been paying any attention. Seahawks are second, Vikings third, Steelers fourth. Not surprising to anybody.
Nope.
Browns giving up the fewest passing yards.
Browns have been very good.
The defense,
offense hasn't quite, yeah, the offense hasn't quite matched the defense. The Browns defense has been phenomenal.
Cowboys defense has been solid too, and really the Falcons not giving up a ton through the air either.
Yeah.
Fewest receiving touchdowns, Browns, Texans, Cardinals, Texans defense, defensive coach, right? But they've also been pretty good.
Injuries are starting to hit up, may start to catch up to Houston, but
yeah,
you know, losing their top two outside corners isn't ideal.
Right. Lions are worse than the league against the tight end, giving up 303 yards. Worst points-wise against the tight end, the Jets. Jets, Broncos, Eagles, Bengals, all averaging double-digit points given up to tight end.
Of course. Broncos, top. Broncos, top.
Exactly.
It's just bad.
Play when he gets the Broncos.
Just, yep.
Play all your Jets players, even Zach Wilson.
All right. I'm done with that. Not a ton of surprises right now.
No.
No.
Not a lot turned up. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the previews. I don't really have a lot to recap. Previews this week. So you got Cleveland, the Chargers, Seattle, Bucks on bye. Just wanted to throw some guys out there for potential bye week substitutions. Julian McLaughlin, obviously with Javonta not playing. He looked good in pinch hit duty last week. He looked good in preseason. I was on a lot of rosters and dropped by a lot of people because he didn't really have a role. He's going to have one. If he's not been picked up yet, he should be. Johnny Smith off of a big week. Another decent matchup for him. Texans defense has been good, but Johnny was clearly outpacing Kyle Pitts in that offense, and they're utilizing him. So you got a tight end that's utilized to use it. We talked about Michael Wilson. Terrace Marshall has seen his snap share and target volume go up each of the last 3 to 4 weeks. So lean on that if you need some floor. Adam Thielen's been solid. Sam Howell's playing tonight. Anybody else that you guys can think of as bye week streamers that might be out there that you might be advocating to plug in that have been playing well?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Zach Ertz, man. I'm still going back to the well on Zach Ertz, especially when it comes to tight ends. Just because in three of his last four games, he's had 8+ targets. Week three, even I said, they go up against Dallas, don't play him. San Francisco, I was very hesitant, and he saw 10 targets, but only turned it into 6 for 53, and once again missed another touchdown. So he actually could have had 2 touchdowns already this season. He has 0. Eventually, he's going to catch a touchdown, and he's going to have a double-digit week. This could be his week, especially against Cincinnati Bengals.
Man, the Bears are playing not to lose right now, and that's not going to go well.
Yeah. Tyler Boyd, Tegan's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
7, 8, 9 his targets the last 3 weeks, since he's obviously been playing a lot more from behind. But offense hasn't been great. He's not lighting the world up with his production. But in a what could be a sneaky decent scoring matchup against the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are playing tough. A lot of focus on Chase. You could see Tyler Boyd start making more of a PPR noise for some of your early bye weeks. I got him plug and play in a few leagues.
All right.
Come on, Chris. You gotta say his name. There's one more guy left.
There's one more guy left.
Yes, yeah, a sleeper this week.
I'm actually, it might be my streamer this week. Got Denver. We in the same page? Oh,
nope.
No, then go ahead.
Gabriel Davis, man, against Jacksonville and London.
Santa Claus!
Gabe Davis.
He's showing up.
Definitely a plug-in this week. He's not on waivers, so I wasn't counting him as a streamer, but he's definitely a start.
Santa Claus coming alive, doing what he does.
So I tipped my streamer this week. Zach Wilson against the Broncos. The Broncos have been total ass. He looks like he found something last week. Good matchup, good opportunity for him to build on, you know, what looked much, much better for him last week. So Zach Wilson's my streaming call at quarterback. So if you don't have Justin Herbert and need a pinch hit, or Geno Smith, or Baker Mayfield.
CJ Stroud, if he's available.
CJ Stroud, if he's available, he may not be. But Zach Wilson definitely is.
He's a guy.
He's the MILF hunter.
Worth the stream. Now, there really isn't any other quarterbacks.
No, there's really not.
No, I think Wilson might be.
Well, that's what I looked at.
That's low, so low as you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how much lower you can go after that.
He can't go any lower.
You really can't. And
it's been low too much.
Even tight end wise, you can't really go super low, and there's nothing to stream in the running back game.
Have fun predicting tight ends. Like, seriously. Kyle Pitts is being used in all the ways you want to see Kyle Pitts be used, like split out wide, split in slot,
and Johnny Smith's
all tight ends and yards. Desmond Ridder is fucking trash.
Hey, now.
He's fucking trash. No, Arthur Smith is actually teeing up what could be some pretty big Pitts moments if Ridder didn't fucking suck. Signed off by all Kyle Pitts managers in your fantasy leagues.
Yeah. All right, games to target. Dolphins, Giants. There's a lot of games to target this week, actually. Dolphins, Giants. Patriots was talking about being tops near everything, so maybe I should move that to a fade. That was a bias that just got changed. But yeah, Dolphins, Giants should be great for the Dolphins.
Rams-Eagles
will be a good one. Jets-Broncos for the Jets. Cardinals against the Bengals. Yeah.
Games to avoid. Ravens-Steelers, Titans-Colts divisional matchups. So those always get a little black and blue. And I guess the Saints against the Patriots. Kind of a meh week.
Yeah. It's not that bad of a bye week until we hit like week 7 where we're trying to guess really what to plug and play in, because I think that's where 6 teams are on by.
Yeah.
Week 7 has 6. Cincy, yeah. Dallas, Tennessee, Jets, Panthers, Texans.
This is your last week without – I mean, last week was your last week without buys until the playoffs start, so.
Be prepared.
Yep. Get ready for it.
Yeah, it's going to come. Look ahead.
Indeed. That's all I got. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Nice. Goodbye. See ya.